Well, today our passage begins with a warning that is somewhat difficult. Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them. Now, it's not difficult to understand that. I think it's pretty easy to understand. And yet it is difficult when you compare this verse to what Jesus said earlier in his sermon in verse 16 of chapter 5. He said, "Let your light shine before others that they may see your good works." So in one breath, he says to do our righteous deeds in such a way that people can see them. But then a few minutes later, he says that we need to beware of practicing our righteousness before other people. So which is it, to be seen or not to be seen? Well, Jesus clearly demonstrated that God has always wanted his people to do righteous deeds with righteous motives. He has always wanted his people to have righteous hearts. And so in chapter 5, he exhorts us to evaluate our righteousness, evaluate our deeds. Are we following the example of the Pharisees? And in merely seeking a righteous appearance? Or are we seeking to please God by imitating Him? Are we righteous as He is righteous? Or are we merely seeking to look good in front of others? There's a warning of verse 1. Beware. Check your motives. So this is no different than what He's already been preaching this whole time. Seek after righteousness. Be imitators of God. Don't be imitators of the Pharisees who only appear to be righteous. Be pure in your heart. Be righteous in your heart. Check your motives. And so today, Jesus gives us three examples of habits that are important to develop, but can also become tempting to do so that others will see us do them. Three examples of righteous habits that we ought to do with righteous motives. And so to the Jew, there were three great works in the religious life: charity, works of charity, prayer, and fasting. And obviously Jesus didn't have a problem with any of these. He did them all extraordinarily well. He was incredibly charitable to the needy. He demonstrated prayer flawlessly among his disciples so much that they wanted him to teach them how to do it. He fasted. He did all of these things, and he commends us to do them as well. He didn't have a problem with these things, but he did have a problem when people did them with the wrong motives. We often do things, not because they're good things to do, but because we want to be known as someone who does good things. And so this first example that Jesus gives is the righteous are in the habit of giving to please God. We should be in the habit of giving, especially in this case, as he explains, to the needy, but with a motive to please God. A person may give to the needy without truly, really helping the person in need, but is simply trying to demonstrate his own generosity so that he can be praised for doing it. There's buildings in every city and probably on every university campus that have the names of someone stretched across them in big letters because they're the donors that made that building possible. Jesus says something I think is fascinating here. He says that the hypocrites give with the sound of trumpets before them. As I was trying to study this throughout the week and various commentaries and trying to see where is this from, almost every commentary I have, not everyone, but almost every one of them says that Jesus is speaking metaphorically here, that there was no historical or even archaeological evidence that they did this. However, a couple did point out that it was a practice at the temple for the trumpets to be blown and blasted as a call to action for the people. So possibly Jesus was referring to that. So either way, the point is still the same. Don't do it to be seen and heard by others. Don't do it. Don't gather the praise of others and announcing your charity toward others. The point that he's driving at is not to, if it was about the temple trumpets, is not to condemn that tradition at all, but it is to address the heart of the giver. And that should be obvious. Remember that all throughout this sermon, Jesus has been more concerned with your heart than he is with your outward actions. The hypocrite turns a good thing into an opportunity to show off and impress people and gain their praise. There have been times in our own church's history in which we've had some special needs that required some extraordinary giving. When the building was being constructed, it was designed to have stained glass windows, but through a series of unfortunate events, we can call it, they had to be delayed. And at first, for the first maybe 5 to 10 years, somewhere in there, we just had plain windows and long curtains that had to be drawn because the sunlight was horrible coming through there, because the other needs had to happen. And then we decided, let's raise funds and do this. And so we literally had the old-fashioned thermometer and the rising, the goal that we needed to reach and how much. And many people gave small amounts, and we saw it growing. But there were a few that gave significant amounts. But they didn't do it to impress people. They didn't do it to seek the praise, like, this is so-and-so's window. They didn't do that to seek personal praise. It truly was an act of charity to the congregation without the expectation of put my name under it. Maybe you've been in churches, and I served a church that had this practice where there were little brass plaques screwed to almost everything in the name of someone. Pews had them, and shortly before I went to that church, the elders made a decisive change. It was a tiny little sanctuary. The side of the pews had barely enough room to walk through. Almost had to turn sideways to get through. They took the plaques off the center aisle and put them on the outside aisles so that you really couldn't see them anymore. They took the plaque off the pulpit. There was even an attempt to put a plaque on the communion table that they didn't allow it to happen. But that was a custom in many churches, especially throughout the South. Put my name on it. And this is the type of thing that Jesus is addressing in this portion. Don't seek the praise of people when you give, especially in the case of giving to the needy. Don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. It obviously isn't to be taken literal. It's clearly impossible to do. But the point is, again, may your giving be in secret. Many years ago, and some of you will remember, I had the opportunity to travel with my brother to the Ivory Coast. He was the celebrity to come and preach a conference there and train them in evangelism, and I got to tag along. But one of the things that they did in their worship service that was fascinating in their offering, they didn't pass offering plates like we do. Instead, they had a piece of furniture up front that had a velvet bag in it, and everybody would walk past that bag and place their right fist into it and come out empty. The purpose was you had no idea who gave what and how much they gave. It made it completely secret. It was a wonderful demonstration of this kind of principle that Jesus was teaching. Don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. Keep your giving secret. Don't seek the praise of everybody else around you. Another example of this same principle is in verses 5-8. And again, Jesus demands the glory when we pray. If we seek the reward of people when we give, or we seek the praise of people when we pray, we're going to be dissatisfied. And so the righteous are in the habit of giving to please God. They're also in the habit of praying to please God. Notice the similarity. You'll see it in all three of these. In the words that Jesus uses, when he talks about when you pray, not if you pray. When you give to the needy, not if you give. When you fast, not if you fast. These are things that he expects us to do as his people. Like giving, prayer can be offered with a pure motive, but it can also be offered with a mixed motive. Jesus, again, speaks of the hypocrites who seek public recognition. They love to stand and pray in the synagogues or at the street corners that they can be heard or seen by others. Again, the motivation is self, to glorify self, to look good in the presence of others. The praise of men is what they seek. And Jesus says the praise of men is all they'll get. Now, you may be tempted to think, with this one at least, that, well, this only applies to people like you, Pastor. The ones that are called by God to lead worship and to pray publicly with the people of God. And it certainly is convicting. I was convicted of the very thing yesterday when I prayed at the presbytery meeting. Worried about how I sounded before all these other pastors and elders. And convicted of what I'm going to be preaching on the next day. It's tempting for us. And it certainly does apply to pastors and leaders of churches. But Jesus wasn't merely addressing the priests and those that were called to lead worship. We are all tempted to pray selfishly. We all tend to pray merely for matters that affect us, that will benefit us. And we'll come back to that in more detail and get into the Lord's Prayer itself. But Jesus shows that he's not just concerned with how the priests led the temple worship. He certainly was not against public prayers at the temple. No, when he said that we are to go into our room and shut the door to pray, he shows that he's not only talking that he's not talking about public prayers, but individually in your private prayers. There's a sad change in the church when the people stopped praying and relied on the priests to pray. And they relied only on the highly educated, so to speak. You are to pray. Yes, of course, there are times you go to your leaders to seek prayer. Biblically, we're commanded to do that and for certain needs, absolutely. But we must pray. As a people of God, you have the privilege of going into your room and shutting the door and praying. We ought to be concerned not with what people think about our prayers, but to the God to whom we are praying. You know, on the flip side of this, we have others among us, and I count myself as one of them at one time in my life, where you're afraid to pray publicly in a small group of people. You should not be. That as well is a demonstration of fearing or worried about what people think about your prayers, rather than praying to the God who loves you. Being a natural introvert, I fully understand that fear. And I used to have the same fear, believe it or not. But it goes to the motive of the heart, doesn't it? In this case, he's not as much concerned about our public prayer and praying with others publicly, but our own heart when we pray. Again, for the next several weeks, we're going to dissect the Lord's Prayer, and I hope we'll learn many valuable lessons that will encourage us in our own private devotions and prayer. But there are a couple of helpful points here that Jesus makes for us. For one, he says that to find that private place. Find a solitary place where you won't be tempted to be seen by others and heard by others. Find a quiet place where you can pray. And then also make sure you remember to whom you're praying. Because even when you're alone and praying for those intimate needs that only you know about, it still can be so easily distracting to start worrying about what other people think or to simply be selfish in our prayers. I know it seems obvious to say that we are to pray or remember that we are praying to our Father, but it's a good reminder that we are not praying to be heard by others. We are not praying flowery speech, thinking that that is going to make our prayers even better before God. Just open your heart and commune with the Father. In fact, the catechisms, and I hope to bring this out more through the Lord's Prayer as well, the catechisms define prayer as the act of offering our desires unto God for the things that are according to His will in the name of Christ. And it goes on and lists some other attributes of prayer or actions within prayer. And I hope that, again, we'll unpack that more in the weeks to come. So come back and learn more about this discipline of prayer. But here he is warning about the hypocrite who seeks public praise. The righteous are to be in the habit of giving and praying. Now, the third example is probably the least practiced, is the habit of fasting to please God. Fasting is a discipline that we seldom hear much about, and we even more seldom do. There may be a few of you that have practice it consistently. But most of us haven't. I'll confess that it's not a discipline I have practiced much at all. But it is a spiritual act of worship. It's not for the purpose of losing weight, though it could be used, I guess, if you wanted to, and to do that to get healthier. No, the spiritual discipline of fasting is an act of worship that includes such things as abstaining from eating or drinking, or in scriptures even to the abstinence of sexual activity, for the sake of devoting yourself more fully to prayer, to mourning, to grief, to repentance, to name just a few throughout the scriptures. It's a spiritual discipline. In the scriptures, we can find examples of corporate fasting where the whole nation was called to fast. But Jesus here obviously is addressing the practice of individuals again. And he does it the same way as he did with giving and with prayer. Don't do this to be seen by others. And he doesn't say if you fast, but when you fast. But nobody needs to know when you're doing it. It was their practice to make themselves look miserable while they're fasting so that everybody could tell and think that you're more spiritual than them, possibly. Jesus is saying nobody needs to know that you're fasting. When he says, anoint your head and wash your face, to them that they would have understood this was normal day life. This is what we do in normal practice. It was an extremely hot and dry climate. And so they would commonly anoint their head with oil and refresh their skin. And so Jesus is basically saying is, when you fast, don't be like the hypocrites and change your appearance. Look like you normally look. Treat it like a normal day. The primary purpose is not to draw attention to yourself. Primary purpose is to humble yourself before God and seek Him through prayer. Fasting is always connected to prayer. There may be different reasons for prayer, as in maybe repentance or in your grief and mourning, but it's always connected with prayer. Fast and pray. Your Heavenly Father sees. He sees your secret gift. Your Heavenly Father hears your private prayer. He sees the imperceptible fasting. And Jesus says He will reward you. You will be blessed by your Father when you humble yourself before Him and you stop seeking the praise of men. Now, the habits of giving and praying and fasting are really not the only thing in view here. These are three examples that Jesus used, but remember how he started with verse 1. Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them, for then you'll have no reward from your Father who's in heaven. Giving to the needy, praying to the Father, fasting are all habits that the righteous should develop and practice, but they're only examples of a broader point. All of our actions should be for the glory of God and not for the praise of people. When you came into the sanctuary today, most of you probably didn't even notice all the new chairs up here. A couple of you might have. A couple of you definitely would have because you helped to do it. With the music ministry growing and starting two new Sunday schools, we borrowed chairs from Sunday school rooms and conference rooms to be able to keep people seated up here. And so we decided with this new classes and the growing, we need new chairs. So we purchased new chairs. And now, I have a habit when I order something that is being shipped. Some of our shipping companies aren't reliable, and they maybe come after hours, and they won't leave it at the door of a church in a commercial building. And so they sometimes even pull the wrong door. It's locked. They just leave a note, and we're here. It's completely unreliable. And so I usually give my home address. Normally it's a small box of books, nothing big. This was big. This was 6 very big boxes of chairs in my driveway that my car couldn't handle. So I borrowed one of the vehicles of the food pantry, and I hauled them over here to bring them over to the church. They were supposed to arrive tomorrow, And they came Friday night. And so Wendy had plans that night, and so I told her, well, when the sun sets, it's a little cooler, I'll just get the van and bring them over. And she said, you need help? I said, no, it'll be easy with the van. When I get here, an elder shows up, heard about it, wanted to help. We unloaded the van, got them all up here, emptied all the other chairs, put them back where they belong, parked the van. Another elder showed up, heard about it, and just wanted to help. Knowing that the day on Saturday was going to be filled with presbytery, there was no way to come over for me to come over and do it. I put out a little announcement to the choir, and immediately they put a plan together and got it done. Now, the point is that I bring it up is that why did they do it? They didn't do it for praise of people. They weren't guilt manipulated into doing it. They didn't. I mean, I don't know the individual motives of every heart, obviously. But it sure didn't seem like they were doing it for the praise of people. They simply knew this is a need that the church has. I can help. And they came and took care of a simple need without expectation of public praise. Jesus said that our righteousness must exceed that of the Pharisees. And clearly, they sought the praise of man. They twisted the law of God to fit their own way of living, to make it more comfortable and give them more power over the people. We must practice our righteousness for the glory of God, not for the praise of people, not to establish our position in front of people so we get better, more praise from them. No, we must give in such a way that God is praised and man is blessed. We must pray and fast in such a way that God is glorified and no one else needs to even know what we've done. To God alone be the glory. Let's pray.